Half a day, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Today is not much different. This is biblical, it is relevant, and it is still true that you find today the church many times, well, we're nominal, we're half-hearted, we're not as committed.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Continuing our look at the general epistles, Pastor takes us on a flyover of the three epistles of John, continuing our mini-series Pastor called The Bible at 30,000 Feet. Today's message is called A Father's Words to His Children.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 3 John, if you would. 3 John. This is a small letter. Actually, the epistles we're going to be looking at today are all a part of what we would call the general epistles. These are letters that were written to a general group of people and then particular group of people, but they're all known as far as you'd look at the New Testament as the general epistles. So we're going to be looking at 1st and 2nd and 3rd John today from a larger point of view. John wrote the Gospel of John. We studied that last year, and he really was writing that for the point of believe. I want you to believe this is to be true. He said in John 21, I wrote these things to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And all those things that happened confirmed that point. And then he wrote these three small epistles, and today we'll be looking at them in a bigger picture. And these were all for the point of helping those young believers probably 30 years to 40 years later, saying, be strong. And he saw some concerns that he had. So this was his motive in writing this. This is what we'll look at today. And this is the last message we'll be giving about these general epistles we've been looking at. And I hope it'll be of a help to you today. John was writing this like a father. He loved these, his spiritual children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He was the oldest and last disciple. And he had such a burden for them and communicated to them that he wrote these three letters, or three epistles. But let's read 3 John, because this is eventually where we'll finish with. In 3 John, verse 1 through 7, let's read that out loud together, because this is the same emphasis you see in the second letter and his first letter. Ready? 3 John, verses 1 through 7. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. And John went on to identify two other men, and these are all individuals that were part of a church. And then John himself, his goal was, I want you to be strong. And there are three great admonitions that he makes in each one of these letters, emphasizing each one of those points. Well, John now finds himself the oldest and last, as mentioned here, of all the Christians that were there. John himself was in Jerusalem. John then, for probably 25 or 30 years, kind of, you don't hear much about him in the New Testament other than Acts chapter 8. And then John finally shows up later in Ephesus preaching the gospel. He outlives all the rest of the disciples and finds himself now penning letters from Ephesus where he pastored. And he was so burdened because, well, as Dr. Hebert, a tremendous commentary, this is how he said it, of the people that he was burdened for. He says, quote, the enthusiasm of the early days of the faith was no longer theirs. Their Christianity had become largely traditional, half-hearted, and nominal. This condition made them susceptible to the seduction of worldliness and later as well, the guile of false teachers. He saw this, and 20 years, the last time apostle wrote was Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. So he was one of the last ones out there. And really, it wasn't just as a father because he cared and was paternal and it was touching. The reality was, by age, there were very few older than him. And certainly, he was the last one that had personal contact with the visible, physical Jesus Christ. So they hung on all of his words. And so he wrote the first letter, and then about a year later, wrote another letter that was circulated among all those churches, the seven churches, certainly, in Turkey, and then wrote a third letter. All of them have the same thumbprint on them, an emphasis, hey, listen, I want you to be strong. And I think it's so important because, listen to me, today is not much different. This is biblical, it is relevant, and it is still true that you find today the church, people, families of God, and certainly among our own families, many times, well, we're nominal, we're half-hearted, we're not as committed. And so, like a good father, he sits down and says, listen, I want to write you a few things. And this is what he writes very simply in the first letter. We don't have time to go through all of it, so jump to one verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, because this is where you end up finding, as every father desires his children to walk obediently, speaking truth with love, this is what he does, and he gives, this is the reason for my letter. 1 John chapter 5, and again, if we were to study through all this, this would be months, and it would be awesome, but we don't have months, so this is the one statement about 1 John chapter 5, 13, when he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Key word is know. He says it again in verse 15. We know that he hears us. We know that we have the petitions. He says in verse 18, we know that whatever is born of God sins not. Verse 19, we know that we are of God. Verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come and that we may know him that is true. You know what John is saying? You had people that were doubting and questioning, and those father's words to his kids were very simply, you need to understand that I'm giving this to you because as a loving father, I'm commanding you to embrace fellowship with God. I want you to be secure and confident. I want you to know that you can know him personally. There's no question. And I want, just as you know me, I know that you can know him. Because without Christ, you have no image that they didn't know who God was. They saw him. He was God, God incarnate. And I'm telling you, and he's saying, listen, to you as my children, I love you, I care about you, and I want you to know. And you know how you could summarize it very simply? He's saying, listen, live confidently. Live confidently. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. I'm sure John, as an older man, had seen many times, not now for just those children, but the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, that he, John, realized, and this is why he penned these words, that every child somewhere along the line wonders, man, I wonder, was I adopted? And sometimes you even have a sibling that'll come along and say, you know what, mom and dad, they're really not your mom and dad. You know, really, they're not. I mean, you were adopted. Along with that, there's an awareness that now not just, okay, I know that this is my child because as they get older, they start seeing similarities. They look like them. They talk like them. You can just see it in their face. But beyond that, to realize that they're accepted in the beloved and to have confidence that you can come to him and as a father, ask him whatever you want. He'll give it to you. He's not reluctant. He's not hesitant. He wants to pour out on you everything at his disposal. And John was saying through this whole letter, listen, live according to the truth. And if you live rightly, you'll have that fellowship with the one that wants more fellowship than you do. And then he writes a second letter, not more than 12 months later, and he makes the statement, the emphasis, in the second epistle of John, where he writes to now, is the circulatory letter in the first one. The second one, he really gives a personal postcard. It's the smallest letter in all of the New Testament and in all the Bible. Certainly the smallest on one piece of paper. He pens it out, and it now circulates, but particular, he mentions, to the elder and the elect lady and her children. Now, whether that was symbolic, I've had a tendency to say it was to a particular lady and her children that were involved in this church, and he makes the emphasis to her. And now, as a loving father, he's not necessarily commanding them, but he's cautioning them, because these believers, notice in verse 1, the elder and the elect lady and her children, 2 John now, a second letter. I love in the truth. Hear these terms? And not I only, but also all that have know the truth, the truth's sake, which dwells in us. And notice verse 3, grace to you, mercy, peace, and notice God the Father from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. And again, talks about truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of your children walking in truth as we've received a commandment from who? The Father. Powerful words to help us understand as a loving father. You know what John said secondly? He's cautioning them. You avoid fellowship. He says, I want you to embrace fellowship with God. But this second letter, he says, I'm cautioning you. You avoid it with false teachers. Notice what he says in verse 5. I'm beseeching you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. He's saying, listen, you're doing right as a family and as his father, saying, listen, I want you to embrace his fellowship. It'll help you be strong. But now as a good father, he's saying, listen, there's some things that sternly, because he cared about them, they had fallen into trouble. There were things that happened. And they, because they were wanting to show much so love, that sincerity was getting them into problem because they were missing truth. Fact is, notice if you would, in verse 7, it says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. They're deceivers. They are, and notice the term Antichrist, the primary term that John used more than any other New Testament writer. They are instead of Christ, the word anti is instead of, you're taking that and it's hurting you. He says, listen, look to yourselves, verse 8. That don't lose those things which you wrought. And they were received a full reward. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to miss out on what God wants for you, so you make sure and listen to what is right. And it's interesting to note, there are some things that you know dads are not going to say. I saw humorously a note on, well, you will never hear your dad say these things. They listed 10. Here's things you're not going to hear your dad say. You're not going to hear your dad say, number one, here's a credit card and keys to my new car. Go crazy. You're not going to hear your dad say that. You're not going to hear your dad say, well, how about that? I'm lost. Looks like we'll have to go stop and ask for directions. Probably not going to hear your dad say it. You're not going to hear your dad say, you know, your mother and I are going away for the weekend. You know, might want to consider throwing a big party. You're probably not going to hear your dad say this. You're not going to hear your dad say, you know, no son of mine is going to live under this roof without an earring. Now, son, go quit your belly aching and go to the mall. I don't know that you're going to hear your dad say that. You're also not going to hear your dad say, finally, what do you want to go and get a job for? Listen, I make plenty of money for you to spend. I don't think so. Those are things you're not going to hear your dad say. I'm going to tell you what you're going to hear your dad say. You're going to hear dad say just what John said. Very clearly and very cautiously, he's cautioning him to avoid fellowship with false teachers. You know what he's saying very simply? And the first letter, live confidently, know it. Here's the second letter. He says very simply, listen, you need to love, but love wisely, love discerningly.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.